may be seated. I'm going to give it to you today. In my home in Virginia, I lived in the woods. Now, mind you, it was a big neighborhood, but I was still in the woods. Tall southern pines in the front yard, and a mixture of young oaks with a couple of mature ones littered my front yard. Mowing grass was not an option. It wouldn't grow there. But I did end up with a lot of leaves to tend to and a lot of limbs. One night in the deep of winter, I was out in the front yard burning some brush and disposing of our leftover Fraser fir Christmas tree, limb by dry limb. I would drop it in, and it would sizzle like bacon, and the flames would soar up to the sky. Oh, I was enjoying myself. But honestly, I wasn't very smart. I didn't have a hose pulled around to the front yard as I had my fire, and I walked away for a moment to get something from the garage, and when I got back, that fire had quickly jumped the parameters of rock that I had set for it, and it was quickly getting beyond my control. So I ran. I ran up the stairs and into my house shouting, "Charlotte and girls, get here quick now. We need water now." And our little makeshift fire department tried to take care of things, and we got it handled. You know, I'm good at starting fires. I'm not so good at putting them out. Sometimes you may struggle with that, right? It's hard to get a fire started, but once it's started, watch out. You may not be able to stop it. Today, Jesus takes a turn in his dialogue with his disciples and with the crowd. He really is getting serious here about his mission and the realities of his pursuing his mission among the people. He equates it to getting a fire started. And he's having a challenge in finding good kindling in the hearts of people. He's working very hard to fan the flames of his message among the people. But the wood seems wet. The people aren't opening up. They aren't catching fire from his words of life and truth. And that is the tension that he lives in. Jesus is headed on his way to Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, and he knows he only has so many days before he feels the heat of the friction with his religious peers, who find him too far out of hand for them to control. And yet the fire that he had hoped to start in the human heart, in the midst of the darkness, the fire that he'd hoped to kindle, the light of the kingdom, is not catching on fast enough. Here at the end of Luke 12, we hear Jesus taking a different tact. And we're not sure what to do with this Jesus. Don't we typically think of Jesus as the light of the world? Not a pyromaniac. Don't we think of Jesus as the Prince of Peace? Not a home wrecker. Don't we typically think of Jesus as one who heals, one who binds us together? Not as a sword that swats a chasm down the middle of our closest relationships? Jesus' words, in fact, create a crisis. They make for a dividing point. You know, especially in John's gospel, but also in Luke. When Jesus encounters a person, in the midst of that interaction, it causes then that person to ask, which way do I go now for my encounter with Jesus? Do I go to the left? Do I go to the right? Do I go to the center? I can't do all three. Which way shall I go? And what will be the impact of that? Even in families, we see the word that Jesus brings up can split families right down the middle, can split a pastor and their parishioner, can pit a father against their firstborn son, pit a mother-in-law. Well, we know about what happens with the mother-in-law. Jesus doesn't seem to take any special delight in being a divider of households. He doesn't get his kicks and jollies from people ignoring his teaching and sticking their heads in the sand at the obvious signs of the reign of God in their midst. Jesus is simply doing what he has to do. What God from the beginning has compelled him to do. And then the cards will fall where they may. Jesus has come to make a difference in our lives. Paul Craddock shared a story about a woman that he met. He said, "I'll never forget the day I met Barbara Jenkins, the day that she walked in the room. It was at a reception of some sort, you know. I don't remember the occasion. There was a punch bowl and a bunch of salted peanuts, little mints, and, you know, those little triangle sandwiches. There was pimento cheese, tuna fish, ham. Really nice, but you had to eat a lot to make anything out of it. Standing around, having a lot of conversation, but not anything real important. It could use some more rain. Yeah, could use more rain. It's been pretty hot, too. Cooling off, though. Getting close to fall now. You watch the game?" And then Barbara Jenkins came in the room. There was something about the room that changed when she came in. "Who's Barbara Jenkins?" "That's Barbara. Yeah, that's Barbara Jenkins." Barbara Jenkins spends her time writing letters, making calls, going to see folk to make a difference in the way that the law treats juvenile offenders. Night and day, 7 days a week, she worries the authorities to death. You enjoy doing that? No, not really. You get paid? Are you on salary? No, no, no. You have children in trouble with the law and you want? No, no. Then why in the world? It's no fun. You're not making any money. None of your friends are doing it." And she says, "I have to." My friends, Jesus comes into the world and brings the fire and the sword because he has to. That's his calling. The question for us is, what shall we do with the fire he brings? What is it then that we have to do? What is it that we can no longer ignore as God's children that is going on in our own self? What is it that we have to do now in our own family? What is it that we have to do at St. Thomas Lutheran Church if the gospel fire is catching among us? Would we allow this fiery Jesus, this sword-swinging Jesus, to cut a swath in our midst that exposes our tendency toward harmony at all costs? You know, these aren't easy questions for us to answer. They take some soul-searching. They reveal to us a Jesus that we'd rather not be exposed to. I mean, come on, I didn't want to preach this sermon today. I would have rather had another text. Isn't there something like a little bingo thing where I can roll and get another ball? Another number? We'd rather put this baby toy Jesus back in the toy chest and pull out pacifying Jesus. The one who accepts us just as we are and doesn't challenge us to go and sin no more. And doesn't point to the edge of a cliff that we're about to fall off. Yes, this is good news. Jesus has come to set fire to the earth right now. That's the reality of the present moment. And it is so that we may have fullness of life. What will you do with that fire? What will I do with that fire? Rush to put it out. Or fan it into flame, knowing full well it may burn away our own impurity.